Excuse me. Has anybody seen my pants? Has anybody seen my pants?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person whose name is in the title of the program, oddly enough. I'd like to call the show Has Anybody Seen My Pants, but that sounds too much like a game show. And now it's time to play Has Anybody Seen My Pants? Bob, we'll start with you. Well, I went to my doctor last week, and my doctor told me I'm not pregnant. I thought the craving for strange foods had to do with my pregnancy, the fact that I was tired and just lethargic, but apparently, no, I'm not pregnant at all. Doctor even went as far as to say, Ron, you can't be pregnant because you're a man. I said, oh my God, I overlooked that. But I'm still eating strange things, nonetheless. Yeah, maybe someday. Maybe someday. Here's something a little controversial, and I haven't really made up my mind, but I'll talk out loud here. If I thought to myself, it would be quiet for a long time, and there'd be no point to listening. But here's what I'm thinking. This Jeffrey Epstein thing, I don't know if Epstein, nobody knows. Nobody knows which one it is. It's Silverstein, nobody knows. Even the person with the name doesn't know how to pronounce it. As you know, he was accused. Let me do a little backstory. As you know, he was accused of molesting tons of girls, having sex with them, even trafficking the girls to other people at various locations that he owned. He was a billionaire, but nobody knew how or why. But he was. And a lot of people think it's because he was doing money laundering. All this kind, you know, mystery man of evil is what he was. And they arrest him, they invade his palatial apartment, and they find incredible stuff going on as far as documents and all kinds of things happening and money stashed in places so they can make quick getaways, phony passports, the whole bit. They indict him, they arrest him, they put him in jail and security. They find out toward the end of July that he tries to kill himself. They find marks on his neck, and there's an apparent suicide. They put him on suicide watch from July 25th to July 29th. For some reason, 4 days later, he's off suicide watch. He's left alone in his cell every once in a while. And as you know, over the weekend, they found him dead. By strangulation is what it looked like. They're still doing the autopsy and the studies and all that. And people are very, very upset that he was able to commit suicide in jail because he's supposed to be on suicide watch. And even if he's not, people do commit suicide in jail because they know the goods are on him and they don't want to live like that. And he was probably the most prolific of all inmates at that particular time and is and was. And as you know, when you molest young children, which is the accusation, it's an accusation, other inmates don't particularly care for that. There can be murderers and horrible people in jail, but as far as the murderer is concerned, you harm one hair on a child's head, you're out of here. It's the code. It's the code of ethics in jail. So they find him dead by they believe strangulation. It could be made to look like that and all that. Who else would get in the cell? I have no idea. William Barr, who is the most kiss-ass attorney general on the planet, I think Trump put an ad in the paper, who kisses my ass the deepest and the longest can become my attorney general. And William Barr said, no, I'll do it. I got nothing else to do. I'm getting bored playing golf. What the hell? William Barr is very upset that Jeffrey Epstein did not get his day in court. And he should have been prosecuted accordingly. The victims, of which there are many, are very upset because they don't have their day in court. They don't have resolve and closure. They aren't able to face this horrible demon face to face and tell them what they did and how they ruined their lives and all that. Here's my take on it, and I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know if you agree with me or not. He committed suicide in jail. And you don't commit suicide unless you don't want to be here, especially when you've been put in jail because of great accusations. The day before his apparent suicide here, the New York Attorney General's investigative team of America found even more documents that apparently, according to the New York Times, were incredibly damning to the point where, like, there's no trial you really need to have. We got the goods on him like it's unbelievable, plus more. And the next day, Epstein commits suicide, having caught word that this material was found. So obviously, to my understanding, in my head, he said, oh crap, the jig is up. I'm going to spend the rest of my life in jail. I don't want to do that. I'll commit suicide. He knows what he did. And decided to take the exit door in a different way. The victim should be kind of happy. I mean, you know, they got molested, and this guy is dead by his own hand. I think that's retribution. Like, what more do you want? Also, the prison system doesn't have to sweat this guy. We don't have to go through these expensive trials, these long, drawn-out things. He's due a trial because every person is, you know, thought, you know, innocent until proven guilty, that kind of crap. Whatever. But this guy said, no, I'm not going that route. I'll take my own life. So, like, what's the problem? Do you know how much money we saved by housing a guy that's never going to get the death penalty? He's going to live the rest of his life in jail. If he was innocent and he still took his life, okay. I mean, I don't see the big hubbub. Here's the hubbub. I'm sure you disagree with me, but that's my take on it. Here's the big problem is the president, and I use that term so loosely, the schmuck in the White House, and I'm sorry, he would call me a schmuck in a second publicly. Why can't I call him a schmuck? What, is he above the law? Oh, that's right, he is. The guy in the White House, the Trump guy, actually retweeted a tweet saying that the Clintons were probably responsible for the death of Jeffrey Epstein. Somehow they infiltrated the prison system and had him killed. This was not Trump's tweet. It was a tweet that Trump saw and decided to take that tweet and tweet it out himself. retweet is what they call it. It's not a tweet. It's a retweet. It's like refried beans. They've already been fried. We're going to fry them even more. And I will fry them more. I didn't create the beans. I didn't fry the beans in the first place. But I'll fry them more. And these are my refried beans to you. I have a hand, and I'm just passing on information that I thought should be passed on. Donald, are you crazy? I think you are. Mr. Conspiracy Guy? The guy that lies, gets things wrong 24 hours a day, you're retweeting that? What, so the Clintons can have a target on them? What is your obsession with the Clintons? I know what it is, Don. I know what it is. I know what everything is. You want to be in power, number one, most popular. You want to be on top of the globe 24/7. Even if it's for bad stuff, your name is still running all over the place. And Don, that woman, Hillary Clinton, really should be sitting in your seat. She won the election by popular vote. More people in the country by 3 million preferred her over you. You won the Electoral College. I don't know what the fuck that means. I guess we go state by state. It's like a backdoor way of winning. I mean, popular vote should rule. I don't know. I don't care and I don't know. But if popular vote doesn't rule and you got to make up other little ways of winning an election, that's like just wrong to me, but whatever. I mean, what am I going to do about it? Popular vote wins. You get more votes than somebody else, you win. I don't know what's more elementary or honest or pure than that. But somehow Trump wins the presidency through a state thing. But he knows she won the presidency. More people went for her. More people liked her. As much as they hated her, they, I guess, hated you more, Don. And he cannot live with the fact that she got more votes than he did, A, and B, that it was a woman who beat his ass. I think it's part of that. I think that's what it's all about for this man. Anyway, to retweet something like that is not only irresponsible and stupid and childish. I always say you're starting to lose it. I don't think you had it. I think it just becomes more obvious that you never had it. Oh, man. Stop picking these rock stars to be president. Will you please stop doing that? Choose a person that can make us feel good and bring us together. That's all I want. It's for the person sitting in that house. You want to sit in that furniture? Be nice. Yeah, I know. You got to be tough as president. But not to your own people. You're supposed to love them and bring them together and make things better, not divide them. Divide and conquer. What's wrong with you? It's your own country. And let me tell you something else, Don. Your entire life has been like leaning on bankruptcies. I don't want this country to go bankrupt. So this is not a business, Don. It looks like it and it's run like it, but it isn't. It's supposed to be a people thing. I don't think you understood that when you became president, you were supposed to be president of everybody, not just the people that like you. If you like me, if you hate me, I will destroy you. Oh, welcome to the White House. That's nice. What a wonderful thing. What's going on, huh? What is going on?
Let me tell you something about Ron Van Dam. He is not afraid to voice a controversial opinion now and then.
If you're eating 4 donuts for breakfast, you're probably eating a dozen donuts for lunch.
Whoa, slow it down, Radio Rebel. Don't burn it out all at once. You wild man. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
That was a little insulting, but whatever. Whatever. Guess what I did over the weekend? Go on, guess, I'll wait. No, I didn't do that either. No, well, you think I would do that? No, I did not. Wow. I'll give you one more guess. No, I would have liked to do that, but no. I went apple picking. Oh, God. I've been reduced to apple picking. Yep. People don't pick apples because they want to. They pick apples because they were forced to. If you're with somebody that likes to apple pick, you're going to be apple picking. There's no way around it. I don't know. We went to a place. It was a big orchard, a lot of apples. And you pay this person money. They give you a container, and you go pick your own apples. I guess to enjoy the experience of a migrant worker. I don't know why. I don't know what kind of satisfaction there is to picking your own apples. First of all, I don't eat a lot of apples. This thing, an apple a day makes the doctor go away. I've been told you have to go to the doctor anyway for various checkups and follow-ups. Do you know what a follow-up is at a doctor? We need more money from you. Let's create an appointment for no reason. That's called a follow-up. No, Ron, a follow-up is if you have some type of issue and you need to have it checked every once in a while. There's always an issue. There's nobody that doesn't have an issue. We all have issues. Even the way some of us dress is an issue. So don't tell me about issues. Apple picking, man. It wasn't picking the apples itself that bothered me, although, well, it kind of did, actually. But it was more so the fact that there was absolutely no reason to do this. Because I don't know if you know this or not, supermarkets sell apples that have already been picked. Ron, I didn't know. Yes, and they've also weeded out the ones that are horrible. Now, some bad supermarkets still have the horrible apples on display, but for the most part, they throw the bad ones out. Yeah, they sell them in a store. You don't have to pay money to fill up a container. You can just buy one apple if you want to in a supermarket. Apple picking my ass. Apple picking my ass. I did not derive any kind of pleasure picking the apple myself. I really didn't. There was nothing, no orgasms involved there. I grabbed a hole of an apple, and I pulled on it, hoping that there was no worms or creatures on it. And then I put it in a container, and I kind of felt like someone should be giving me a check for 60 cents for working the fields. I don't get the apple picking. They have a big sign as well in front of the orchard that says apple picking. They warn people. If you want an apple, you're going to have to go pick it yourself. It was mostly women. Any man that was apple picking because they were forced to. That's in the Ten Commandments. That's commandment number 9. It could be 8. I don't know numbers. I don't know exit numbers on highways. I read the sign that says what town is off that exit. I don't look at the numbers. Anyway, yeah, man. And after I was finished picking the apples with the apple picking person I was with, I was forced to pay money for what I had just done. That's like mowing the lawn and then having somebody say, okay, you owe me $20. I owe you $20? How about you owe me $20? I just mowed your lawn. Yeah, but this was lawn picking. It's a new sport. We give you the pleasure of mowing your own lawn. Yeah, but I could do that at home. Yeah, all right, sure. Yeah, but would you derive as much pleasure? Yeah, probably more. Probably more pleasure would be derived. Apple picking. Holy crap. Who came up with that? Wow. Should have a big sign in front of my house. Snow shoveling. $40. Or you want me to shovel your driveway for $40? No, you can shovel it, and then you have to pay me $40 for the privilege of shoveling my driveway. Ron, you got that all wrong. Well, then explain apple picking to me. Let me tell you something else. The apples that you eat when you pick them, not so good. Not so good. I've had better apples. Not good at all. Not high quality apples. But Ron, they are so, you're picking them right off of the freaking tree. I mean, what could be fresher? Perhaps a worm crawling out of it? Could that be fresher? Because I think we're at that level now. The things we do that derive us pleasure, which are not pleasurable. I can't get over it. I actually spent time picking apples. Picking fruit, ladies and gentlemen. Picking fruit. I have spent a portion of my life, a small one in comparison, granted, picking apples. And the person I was with, lovely, lovely lady. Nice person otherwise. But wanted to pick apples. I question now choices that are made. I thought she was wonderful. And she is. But she prefers to pick apples. And I thought, well, okay, now we're going down different roads here. Now I don't know who you are. I don't know you. The person I'm with would rather pick apples than do anything else. Given an apple orchard. You know what I'm saying? Actually, what happened was we were driving down this country road, and there was a big sign that said, pick your own apples. It's like driving by a restroom on the highway, and it says, wipe your own ass. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, only they don't charge me to wipe my own ass. But I'll do it myself, thank you. Salad bar is different. I've talked about that before. Salad bar is different. I'm picking something that I want to eat in variety because they don't know how to put a salad together for me. But when you're talking just about an apple hanging on a tree, I don't see the big thing. I mean, I trust you to pick the nice apples and then sell them to me. I trust you to do that. I don't have the feeling like, you don't know what you're doing with your apple, picking apples. I'm going to pick my own. You don't even know what you're doing. No, I think they really do know what they're doing. All right. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I have a guest that I'll be talking to. You thirsty?
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Good morning, Ron.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Lisa Cookson is a mortgage expert, and if you're looking for a home, she's the person we want to speak to here. We're talking about tips on how to tackle the mortgage process, which is daunting, and Yeah. It's an interesting market right now, actually. I don't even understand where mortgage prices are going up or down or in the middle. It's just every day is different.
It is. It's exciting because it's different. But as a consumer, we want to give you the confidence to go into the buying market. So that's what we hope to talk about with you today.
Well, I understand that if you're looking for a home, you probably think you find a home and then you find somebody to talk to about the mortgage, but that's kind of backwards, I understand.
Yes, definitely. We did a survey at PenFed, and we found out that 61% of the buyers in the upcoming year will be first-time home buyers. Mm. Because of that, it's even more important that they take the time to get pre-approved before they start the home shopping journey. It will help them understand their debt. It will challenge them to watch their spending so that they're prepared and they can get their maximum value when they go house shopping.
When you're looking for a house and someone's trying to sell their house, what are sellers looking for in the guise of a buyer? Are they looking for somebody that's already pre-approved, or it doesn't matter?
Yes, we hear that every day from our real estate partners, that the seller of the home considers a buyer who has a pre-approval from a respected credit union or bank as a higher opportunity for someone they choose to sell to.
Okay, so it really does make a difference.
Definitely.
All right, okay. All right, so how do you find a mortgage establishment that you can trust that isn't going to tell you one thing and something else happens? And I mean, you got to put a lot of trust in the person that's or the company that's backing you on this.
Yes, you definitely need to trust whomever you speak with. And I'd say, you know, certainly start with your local credit union or bank so that you know them and they know you. Mm-hmm. If you have a relationship with them already, they can help you move more easily through the process. They will be able to look at your income, look at your debts, look at your savings, and maybe even offer programs like we do with the credit union where you only need as little as 3% down payment. We have a first-time homebuyer program that is excellent for those entering into the market. But it's understanding the products and understanding your options that empowers you and gives you confidence.
Okay. Now you're talking with PenFed Credit Union. What is PenFed? Tell me how that's a little bit different.
One of the great things about PenFed is we really are focused on our members and on our local community. Mm-hmm. And in a credit union, what we have the advantage of is some lower costs and lower fees that our members then need to pay. It's easy to have a conversation with us. It's easy to become a member with us. And that can all be learned quickly by PenFed.org.
Okay. In my world, in my lifetime, I am 700 years old, credit unions are kind of a new thing. I mean, it's kind of a community-based people banking, I guess you would call it. When I was growing up, there were just big banks, and that was pretty much it.
Credit unions are definitely an important part of the local community and the mortgage market. We feel fortunate at PenFed to be able to help people at a really important time. And that's where the programs, when you understand the programs that are being offered, you get that support. And the 3% down payment I mentioned, we pay lender PMI, private mortgage insurance, which is an expense. And then there's another feature we added that we learned from the survey that we did. Mm-hmm. We included job loss protection, which we consider peace of mind for that first-time home buyer.
Yeah. You never know what the economy is going to be dealing you.
Exactly. Yeah. It is daunting, and you used that word in the beginning.
Yeah, it's daunting. Okay. I'm a little confused about something else. Maybe you can help me along with this. I know to establish good credit, you have to have something on credit to show that you're able and consistent in paying it off, and that's good credit, even more so if you don't have any credit at all. Paying everything in cash, if you can do that, that isn't even good credit. But at what point do you owe too much, or Is that getting, you know, what's the line of making a purchase and having credit and having too many purchases and that kind of thing?
This is definitely where a trusted advisor comes in to sit with you individually, looking at your earnings and then looking at your debt to help you understand what the industry ratios are, so you know when your debt is in line and it allows you to buy more house.
Okay.
You want to sit down and really walk through that with somebody who can help you with your individual facts.
All right. All right, Lisa, I'm going to throw another question out at you. You mentioned that they're the highest percentage is first-time home buyers. Should a first-time home buyer look at, I'm going to move into my always home that I'm going to try to spend my rest of my life in, or do I look at this as a first-time home as a stepping stone probably to a home shortly after that? I mean, what should one's outlook be?
I think that it really depends on their career path and their personal journey, whether they choose their first-time home as a stepping stone or whether they choose their forever home.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about a lot of first-time homebuyers, they may not be living in their forever destination.
Right.
They may be moving because of career changes.
Right.
So again, it really is a very personal journey, and that's where spending time talking to someone about your dreams and your aspirations helps you get to the right product and get to the right program that can maximize your money.
Well, in the interest of time, that's about all we have in order to go through those questions, but there are many more, and they welcome you to contact them and discuss all of this. They don't charge you when you call them. They talk to you. How do we get in touch?
Thank you for saying that. It is a free service to consult. And if you come to PenFed.org and you look for the local branch near you or the phone number, we can get you connected to an individual trusted advisor.
Wow. You actually use phones. This is unheard of. You can actually hear somebody talk who's a human being. It's not a robot.
It's real.
Wow. It's amazing. What a concept. It's Lisa Cookson, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, our time is up for today. This has been so much fun for me. I don't know what it's like for you. I can't guess. But I hope it's been pleasurable to some extent. Like picking apples off of a tree. For no reason whatsoever. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. At any time, it's whatever you want. You know where to find me. Until then, I wish you peace.